Hello, church family. Good morning. Thank you for joining us for this time in God's Word. I've been praying for you and looking forward very much to the time when we can come back together as a church family and worship the Lord, but also so glad that we can spend this time together each Sunday as we've been going through the letter of 1 John. And last week, we spent most of our time in 1 John 1 through 3. I had read I'd read all five verses in this section, but only got around to the first three. And I wanted to come back to those last two verses 4 and 5 today, and spend our time there, because I think it's important for us to consider what it means to overcome the world. And that's what John mentions here. So let me read it to you. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And I hope that everyone that is watching or listening to this morning desires to be a person who overcomes the world. And we need to be aware of the temptations that are constantly around us, luring us to be worldly. Christ has called us out of that. And He has enabled us through faith to be overcomers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, God, for the truth that is in these words, that the faith that we have in Jesus Christ leads us to overcome the temptations, the snares, and the dangers of being worldly. You tell us in Your Word that we cannot be lovers of the world and lovers of God. Make us lovers of God this morning, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In John Bunyan's classic book, The Pilgrim's Progress, Christian and his friend Faithful have to travel through a town called Vanity, where there is a fair that is going on throughout the year, so hence the name Vanity Fair. And it was a place of constant buying and selling. Amusements were everywhere, entertainments. Any pleasure that a man had, he could have it quenched while he was in Vanity Fair. And there was no way to avoid walking through. So if you might have it in your mind, why didn't they just go around? You couldn't go around, according to Bunyan, because to go around or try to go around would mean you would have to leave the world. And so he is clearly saying here that Vanity Fair is a picture of what the world is. And every traveler, every Christian, has to travel through it. And when Christian and Faithful came to it, the people there were amazed. Because these travelers did not talk like they did. They had a different kind of language, probably a different standard of language than the rest of the world or the people in Vanity Fair would use. But what made the townspeople really angry was that Christian and Faithful did not want anything to do with them. They had no interest in what these people sold. All the entertainments and amusements that were offered to them, they wanted nothing to do with it. These godly men simply wanted to cross through and get to their country, their own country, called the Celestial City. Listen to how Bunyan describes the scene when they got there. He says, "But this did especially amuse the merchants. These pilgrims placed little value on all their goods. They did not even care to browse at them. And if they were solicited to buy such items, they would put their fingers in their ears and cry out, 'Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity.' At the same time, they would look upward, signifying that their trade and commerce were with heaven. So beholding the strange behavior of these men, one scornful trader happened to address them, 'What will you buy?' But the pilgrims soberly replied, 'We buy the truth.'" And so these men in Bunyan's story were well prepared to resist and overcome the temptations of the world. And I want to give you a simple way of understanding what the world means, or overcoming the world means. It's this: that the attachment to the things that the world loves are broken by faith in Jesus Christ. So all that stuff that you used to live for, or were supposed to used to live for, the loves of the world, those things are no longer valued in the same way that they once were. Jesus Christ is valued so much more that He has broken the spell that the love for the world once had in your heart. And so this is the third time that this was mentioned. This has been mentioned in John's letter. He's mentioned the world back in chapter 2, chapter 4, and now again in chapter 5. And I want to take you back to chapter 2. This is one of the most well-known passages in Scripture about being worldly or the temptations of the world. And I want to read it to you again and use that to talk this morning more about what it means to overcome the world, what John is teaching here in chapter 5 about our faith overcoming the world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. He says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." So in short, the world, as John uses the word, it is the stuff of life that everybody on this earth lives for. The things that are attractive to them, the things that drive them to do and to be the people that they are. This is the stuff of the world. And it's the kind of things that were being sold there in Bunyan's story in the place called Vanity Fair. Listen to the things that he says were being sold or marketed at the fair. Houses, lands, trades, places, honors, promotions, titles, countries, kingdoms, lusts, pleasures, and delights of all sorts, as whores, pimps, wives, husbands, children, masters, servants, lives, blood, bodies, souls, silver, gold, pearls, precious stones, and whatnot. And I like that whatnot thing. It means, you know, if anything else that you can think of that might be at the fair and being marketed to these people, it was. So all of that stuff and whatnot. And to make it simple, for us to understand of some categories of the things that are loved and cherished by the world, think of it as the three P's. It's pride, it's possessions, and pleasures. Pride, possessions, and pleasures. This is the fuel that the world runs on. These are the objects or the attractions that they live for, that they want as a part of daily life. And I don't think that there is a greater temptation for you and I in the place that we live today, in the time that we are living in, than the attractiveness of the world. It is the greatest temptation, it seems, where we live right now in this time and place. And if anything is going to water down the American church, it is worldliness. It's worldliness. And I was talking to somebody this week, and it came up, the question, you know, is there anything that's really any different about a worldly man and what he lives for and a church man and what he lives for? Do they spend their time on anything different, except on Sunday mornings, of course? Is the rest of their week spent any differently? If you were to observe both men, would you notice a difference in how they spend their time and their money, the things that they love to do? I'm not so sure. I know I'm speaking very generally, but if you were to observe the way that the church operates and the way that the world operates, is it so different? I don't know. And so in America, for all of its good ideals and all of its aspirations about what it means to be an American, to live in America also epitomizes the world and all of its temptations, the love of pleasure and possessions and pride. They're all here very close to us. And it's possible, brothers and sisters, that we are so close to these things, so immersed in them, that it makes it very difficult for us to see the dangers that are always around us. Since I was a boy, I have had nearsightedness. And so if I take my contacts and my glasses off, I can see up to about right here, you know, maybe a foot or so away from my face. And after that, things get really blurry. But I know that there are also people who are the opposite of me in the way that their eyes work, and they can see really good at a distance. But anything that is close up to them gets extremely blurry for them. And so if you cannot see the dangers that the world presents to you, pleasure, possessions, pride, It may very well be that you're too close to them and too immersed in them, and you need corrective lenses, the lenses of Scripture, to help us see clearly once again. And in that book of Bunyan's, he writes that the forces of evil, so Beelzebub and his cohort of demons, come together, and they have observed the way that pilgrims have walked for quite some time, and they noticed that the path always has to go through the town of Vanity. And so what did they do? They devised the fair. The fair was their device to put there in that town to constantly tempt anybody that walked through, and so many would fall by the wayside as they passed through and were lured in by the entertainments and the allurements of the Vanity Fair. And so it is with us. We've got to walk through the town called Vanity. We have to go. We're living in it right now. And will we have our eyes open to see all the things that are there that could tempt us, to draw us in and steal our hearts? And sometimes I wish, and maybe you're like me, that I wish that I could just go up and live in the hills of Tennessee somewhere and be completely detached from the rest of the world, especially right now in the time that we're living in. But as good as that might sound in the short term, I know that ultimately it wouldn't solve the problem, because I would still be in the world and I would still have to pass through and participate in some way. There's just no way to completely detach. And this is what the monks and the hermits found out centuries ago. They tried that. Like, they'll just go and they'll live in some little hole somewhere, and they could be completely away from all of the lures of Satan and the world. And what they found out was is that the world still came with them. It was still inside of their hearts. Our hearts are deceitful, make us think that if we could just get away from the world, that we'd be okay. Well, we wouldn't. We need to be saved from ourselves just as much as we need to be saved from the world. And so we can't escape it. And so the answer is not to become a hermit. It's not just to go and get away from it all. Christ has called us to be in the world, to be people who are in the world as light and salt, but not be of the world, to not be of the same stuff that the world is. He's called us out of it. And so we have to do business, so to speak, in Vanity Fair. But not be attached to it while we're there, while we're in that town. And while we are in that town, while we are in this world, we have to be able to show the people that are living there, the people in this world, how valuable our Savior is, how He is so much more a treasure than all the little worthless trinkets that they are spending their lives on. And I want to point out to you a snare that is on the path that is in our world, the path that is in our world that can so easily draw us in back to the world and all of its attractiveness. Because let's be honest, brothers and sisters, the world is tempting, isn't it? The world is tempting to have, just to have all the beautiful things or all the good things, to have those things and to chase after them. So it's tempting to have. It's tempting to be known, isn't it? People want to be known. So many people just want to be famous. For what? Just to be famous. They're famous for being famous. People want that, to be known by others and for others to love you and think how great that you are. It's tempting to experience pleasure. It's called pleasure for a reason, to want to be living in constant pleasure. And so these are all very real temptations, and Satan knows it, doesn't he? He knows it, and these temptations are probably closer to this generation than just about any other generation before us. Things are always so close at hand where it feels like it is pressing in on you, always ready to smother you. A man told me recently that his dad worked with those computers, those massive computers of yesteryear that took up spaces far larger than the office that I'm in right now, just to hold what we would consider to be very small bits of information. They stored what they thought was tons of information, but now my cell phone can probably hold hundreds of times the data that those massive old computers could. But guess what my phone can also do? It can also connect me to the rest of the world. So that little device in my pocket is always connecting me to everybody else, to where the world, there's almost no escape from it. It's always right there at hand. And if this generation is going to participate in the world, and by participate I mean just functioning in society, connecting with other people, doing any kind of business, right? It is going to come through devices like my smartphone. And while you are functioning, connecting, while you are doing business, this little device is so willing to also, along the way, give you those three P's. It makes it so easy. And they're just apps, you know. They're all right there at the push of a button. So that phone is always offering us that pride, those possessions, and the pleasure at any time of the day. And there was a time when we can probably not hardly remember it anymore, at least most of us who are watching this. It was only 15 years ago that you didn't have a smartphone. You might have had a little flip phone or maybe something a little bit thicker, you know, back then, but it was not a smartphone like today. And it has gotten to the point where we can't even imagine the world that we live in to be able to operate without it. But think back to 2007, 8 or 9 or whenever that was. You didn't have one. And now you can't go anywhere without that thing. And you're never awake where it seems to be even at arm's reach from you. And so in the teaching here, as we're thinking about pride, possessions, and pleasure, what are Facebook, Amazon, and Netflix? Or you just pick whichever other apps that you want and to substitute for any of those. But what are those things, if not opportunities or temptations for pride, possessions, and pleasure? It is like Vanity Fair right there in your pocket. They're always right there. And that doesn't mean that we are always going to use those things for worldly reasons. I'm thankful for Amazon in a time of quarantine. I think that Amazon might be thankful for a time of quarantine too. I think it's probably done very nice for their business. And yes, I understand that right now you are watching this on Facebook. I get it. There is a lot of good that can be done with these technologies and a lot of good that is being done by these technologies. But we have to be, as Jesus said, wise as serpents while we are in this world. Use these things. Use these things as you are passing through this world. Don't let them use you or even own you or have your heart. Christ has overcome the world, brothers and sisters. He has set you free from living for pride, possessions, and pleasure. You are His now. You belong to Him. But do you live like it in real time? Are you living like you belong to Him? Or are you living like the rest of the world does? And are you so close, or is the world so close to you now that you're always swimming in that water, that you don't realize all the temptations that are along the path as you go? And they could so easily come in and steal your heart and you not even know it. Jesus told Peter that He would make him a fisher of men. Remember that? But guess what? Satan is also out there fishing for men. He's fishing for men too. And his lures are in those waters that we are swimming in. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And it is attractive bait to bite on. It's tempting me to make myself look better to other people. That's one of those baits that are in the water, tempting me to make myself always look better to other people. All it takes is for me to post this or write this and send it out there to the world. And I can just wait on people to like it or love it, to tell me how great it is. And what happens when I do that? It is a temptation to me to base my self-esteem and what I think about myself on how many clicks or likes or whatever else that this gets. And if it doesn't get enough, self-esteem and identity is dropping. And if it gets enough, well, it goes up. That is belonging to the ways of the world. If you are basing who you are and your self-worth on clicks and likes, you are not basing it on who you are in Christ. Again, Jesus has set you free. And that is pride seeping in luring us into the clutches of the enemy. Well, what about in the time of quarantine, the way that you've shopped? Certainly changed, hasn't it? The way that we get things, that has changed over these last couple of months, because the only real shopping that we've been able to go out and do is in the grocery store, isn't it? And that's not a whole lot of fun, right? Not a whole lot of fun to just go out and buy groceries. Your heart wants to shop for junk that you don't need, and you haven't had that outlet, you know, in a while. And stuff that you might not have thought of until yesterday has captured your heart, and you want to go out there and get it. It's not as easy, maybe, as it was before with all the stores being closed. Well, Amazon can certainly scratch that itch, can it? I just get on there and do my shopping online until the stores open back up. And also, what would you do with all of your time right now if there was no Netflix or Hulu or YouTube? How could the American public ever survive this time without mind-numbing entertainment? So I ask you, how much different is the church really than the rest of the world? How much different are you? Are you using these services, or have you, in a sense, been used by them? Do they own you? Do they have you? Have you been captured by them to make your life revolve around these things? And would you ever know the difference? Would you ever know the difference? Could you shut it off for a day of fasting without technology if you had to? Or could you do it for three? Are you able to live without the constant barrage of news right now? Have you noticed that? You know, news doesn't seem to change for days. Not really. You get little snippets here and there, but it's like we have this constant craving to be connected and to know. Can we live without the infiltration of the world, even for a day or two? Christ has overcome the world and our need to be defined by the world, to love the things of the world. He set us free. Are we living like free people? Or are we living like slaves? Slaves to it. When it comes right down to it, you are living in Vanity Fair right now. You're living in that city the Christian and faithful pass through. And are you any different than the rest of the townspeople there? Or are you overcoming temptations of a deceitful heart? Are you overcoming those temptations? And are you overcoming the lures of that deceitful enemy? Are you living like Jesus is your treasure while you're there? I think everybody that's watching this right now knows that there are remnants in your heart of worldliness, right? You know that those remnants are in there. And you want to be like those men in the story who put their fingers in their ears and they cried out, "Turn my eyes away from vanity." But you know where your weaknesses are. You know where you stumble. You know where you fall. And if not for faith, all of us would be a sad story, wouldn't we? We'd all be a sad story. Without faith, this is what John is telling us here, without faith, we would not overcome the world. We would not be able to overcome it. It's still hard, isn't it, with faith to overcome the world. But he says that it is through faith that we do become overcomers. And we need this reminder from John where he says here, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Because what is that doing? It is drawing our eyes back to Jesus. Because what is faith in? Faith is not in faith, and it's certainly not in me. My faith is in my Savior. And who is he but an overcomer? He is the one who has overcome the world for us. He is our strong Savior. And brothers and sisters, remember what he did in that moment when he was tempted with all the lures of Satan to have this world. What was his response? He did not give in. Satan came and offered him all the kingdoms of the earth. And all these kingdoms were what? The kingdoms that belong to him. He's the Lord. But for this period of time, they're under Satan's sway. He says, you can have all of these if you'll bow down and worship me, not our Jesus. He was much more concerned about honoring his Father and obeying Him than having all the trinkets of the world without His Father. He wanted to honor Him above all else. He did that for us. He did that for us. And so this morning we can thank the Lord for His obedience, because faith makes you an overcomer through Him. Only through Him, by God's grace, can we overcome the temptations of this world. It would swamp us and overwhelm us if it was up to us. But through Christ, in Christ, because of Christ, we are strong enough. And this is in the eyes of God that Jesus enables us to be overcomers. So as He sees you, He sees someone who has overcome the world, but also it is through daily faith and trusting in Jesus that in real time He empowers you to overcome the temptations that are coming at you in a barrage of ways each and every day. And so faith empowers godliness right now, today. Godliness instead of worldliness. So maybe you needed this reminder today. I need this reminder as I've been studying on this. Because we are only passing through this world on our way to the celestial city. We're just passing through. But the destruction of our souls, could happen while we are in Vanity Fair. And so give your heart to it and the world at your peril. It will be a downfall. But loving Jesus, real faith in Him, it breaks the spell. It breaks the spell that once led you captive to the world. Jesus has broken that, and it is faith that has joined us to Him. And so if you have been lured in, you've been giving yourself to the world, you've been trapped by it, look to Christ right now. Ask Him for forgiveness. See Him as the Savior that He is, and know that He will give you the strength today to overcome. That is how we will overcome the world, brothers and sisters. Pride, possessions, and pleasure, they are tempting, but Jesus is far better. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love You this morning. We love You for Your word that reminds us where our life is. Our life is in Christ. It is not in this world. Break the strength, the temptations, the strength, the power that the world has over us as we look to Jesus today. And we give Him all the glory and the honor and the praise as You give us the desire to strive right now to overcome the temptations of the world. We love You and we thank You for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again for joining us this morning, this time in God's Word. Look forward to seeing you again soon. God bless.